What up, what up? This is the Rafters podcast brought to you by Couch Guy Sports. I'm your host, Liam McDade, here with my two dynamic partners. We'll start with my boy, Connor. How are you, Connor?
What's up, Daddy? Not much. Chill day.
Absolutely.
The Celtics won, so it's a good day.
Kick back, relax, enjoy the nice victory we had in game one. Dante, how are you?
I saw, dude. I'm doing pretty good, just like Connor said. Celtics won, so can't really complain about much.
Absolutely.
Looking forward to chatting it up with the boys.
And that'll be the main focal point of today. We'll be talking about the playoff game that happened last night, first round against the Philadelphia 76ers, game one. Celtics came out with a 107-101 victory, a lot closer than some people expected it to be. Later in the show, we'll give our predictions for the rest of the playoff series and just share our thoughts with you guys. So, we'll start with Dante. What did you think about last night's game? Takeaways?
I thought the Celtics looked pretty good as far as how they recovered from the first quarter. It was pretty close in the first. Joel Embiid had 11 points, shot 5 for 5, hit a step back three. He was just going crazy in the first quarter, and then he only shot 10 times the rest of the game. So I liked how the Celtics figured out how to handle Embiid and how not allowing him to shoot perfectly like he did in the first quarter. I really don't know, too, if it's all Celtics or just bad coaching as well, because I think Joel Embiid touched the ball or shot the ball twice in the second quarter. So it's like, how do you allow your best player to only do that? Like, how do you only allow him to shoot 10 times the rest of the game after starting off so strong? But that's not our problem. That's their problem. But Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, I don't know how many times we'd have to say it, but they're the best young duo in the NBA. They're just like, they prove it every game, and now it's game one of the playoffs. Jason Tatum had career highs in points and rebounds. Jaylen Brown had 29.6 rebounds. Like, I mean, they're just unbelievable. They're unstoppable together. And I honestly can't wait to watch them to continue playing in the playoffs and just keep going, because I think this is just like the start of it. And I think we're just going to see more performances like that, if not better, from both of them. So I'm excited to see that.
Of course. I just want to speak on Jason Tatum real quickly. Jesus Christ. Everyone who was guarding him was just being turned into mincemeat. The Sixers threw three different defenders at him, and every time they would just get toasted. They have Matisse Thybulle, the rookie this year out of Washington, who I think is a great player.
Known for his defense, too.
Yeah. One of the best defenders in the league.
He's a rookie, though.
Yes, and he is. But he's already one of the best defenders in the league as a rookie. He has high steal numbers, great passing lane deflection numbers. He's a great overall heads up player. And he was just getting smoked by Jason Tatum. They had him on Jaylen Brown for most of it, but they would take him off Brown after Tatum destroyed Tobias Harris so bad. They were like, all right, we need Matisse. So they take Matisse off Brown. And then after that, they ended up putting Alec Burks and Shake Milton all at different points on Jason Tatum, and just none of them could handle the heat. He was out there. He finished with 32 points, 13 rebounds, hitting every shot in the book, his patented fadeaways, his mid-range jumpers. He kept coming off flare screens and getting wide-open looks. Everything the man does, he's walking down the yellow brick road. He cannot miss.
Simply he also perfect. Should have gotten to the free throw line like so many times last night. There were so many missed calls on him. He could have definitely had like high 30s, almost 40 points off of free throws.
I saw that right after the game. I guess he was flipping out that he doesn't get superstar treatment from the refs, and he was flipping out about that
If you watched it, like he was getting hit. He was driving a lot. He was getting hit, getting knocked to the ground, and the refs were just not giving anything to him. So I don't know if that's going to be a common thing going forward, but we'll see. Or if that ref just didn't like him. I don't know.
I think there was a lot of questionable officiating last night. Connor, what did you think of the game?
I think you guys gave Tatum a lot of praise. I think Brown had an equally as good game. He played amazing last night, 9 for 16, 5 for 8 from three, 29 points, played out of his mind. Another thing I took away is, well, we're going to see how it plays out, but Gordon Hayward going out with an ankle sprain.
Yeah, that's
I know he got 34 minutes in last night's game. He scored 12 points, which, I mean, that's probably what you'd get from Gordon Hayward in the playoffs, like 12 to 15 points, you know, 30-something minutes. But we're going to have to really see who steps up. I'm sure we'll talk about this later on in the podcast, but someone's going to have to step up if he's going to be out for a certain amount of time, because if he's out, you're going to have to plug in a guy like, I don't even know. You're going to have to, like, Ojale is probably going to have to step up.
I do not want to see Semi Ojale starting on
neither do I. I think we've seen what that can turn into if he's in that starting lineup, and we all do not want to see him out there. So no. He didn't even play last night, coach's decision. So hopefully he can make a quick recovery or maybe play through the pain. I don't think they're going to have him do that because, you know, he's such a valuable part of this team. So we'll see what happens going forward.
Of course. What's the deal with that? Did they say it was an ankle sprain?
They said it was a right ankle sprain, which is good because it's not his it wasn't his surgically repaired ankle / leg. So it's
still though.
His opposite side. Still, yeah. They said Brad Stevens said it was swelling pretty good. He was in boot and crutches earlier today in Orlando, but that's also
14 minutes ago. Yeah,
that's precautionary. So I mean, that's not really anything to like really be concerned about. But he had an MRI. Or he's going to have an MRI today, and then we'll get the results back. But, I mean, if it's just an ankle sprain, no fractures, no nothing like that, I mean, what are we thinking? Like, a few weeks? Like, I mean, it's tough, too, because, like, with the bubble and the schedule, like, they play every other game. Like, There's no traveling. Like, they have to go, like, once this round ends, the next round starts. So it's,
like, I like it, though.
Even if it's only a few weeks, like, he can still miss, like, a good amount of games. So that's the only thing that really concerns me there.
And the birth of his daughter, too. So, like, he's going to miss, like, these remaining games, like, 2 weeks. And then didn't he say he would leave the bubble when his son's going to be birthed?
Yeah, he's going to leave the bubble. That's probably more towards the Eastern Conference Finals if he might get that far.
Yeah.
But the good news is in that sense is that Mike Conley left for the same reason a few days ago, and he's actually back in the bubble right now. And they said that he's probable to play for or they're hopeful that he can play in game 3. So he only missed 2 games. So if Gordon Hayward does that and he's only gone for 2 games at that point, that's pretty solid.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
See, that's what I think it would be with his ankle sprain is probably only like 2 games when I think about it. If the games are every other day, I can't imagine it's an injury that really lasts more than a week, you know? It's not that serious. All the technology that they have down there, too, I'm sure he'll be icing it and putting heat on it regularly and stuff like that. I recently just sprained my wrist. It only took me about 5 days to get over. Obviously,
you're a big, strong man.
Well, yeah, I know. I'm obviously a lot more masculine, a lot handsomer than Gordon Hayward is, and I can get over injuries.
Do you have the mustache, though? I don't know.
No, I don't. I'm working on it. I kind of got my heat. It's hard to tell on this call right now, but it's certainly not as good looking as his.
It's better looking.
Oh, Connor, you always know how to make me blush. But
I know we gave a lot of praise to Tatum, and I think Brown deserves equal his praise. Those two young guys stepped up big time.
He had 15 in the fourth. He stepped up huge.
Yeah. The rest of the team's going to have to find a way, like we said, without Hayward. I'm assuming he's not going to play for probably the rest of the series. We'll see. I mean, I'm not being optimistic here. He's probably not going to play the rest of the series.
You're really never optimistic.
Well, I think we can handle the 76ers.
I agree with Connor. Like, if this was any other series, like Toronto or Milwaukee, I'd say
he'd probably
push it to come back. But, like, against Philly, like, I know we only won by 8 last night, but, like, we really should have won by, like, 15, 20. I don't think it's really going to be that big of an issue if Hayward misses the rest of the series, especially if Tatum and Brown play the way that they have. Kemba Walker only had 19. I'm assuming my guess would be if someone's going to step up, you know, to help with the scoring, I want to see Kemba Walker score a little bit more than 19 a game. And if those three guys, you know, if those three guys are hitting and they're doing just fine, I don't think we have to worry about rushing Hayward back in this series.
We hope we don't. Because, I mean, like, they're without Ben Simmons, obviously, but this 76ers team is still good. I mean, Hayward's not a big guy, so to say, but he does have some height on him. And he's a guy that can play somewhat of defensive. He's a very solid defender.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Grant
Williams
stepped in last night.
He's going to have to step in too.
I was very surprised. I didn't even think he'd go in the game.
He was getting some offensive rebounds. He was looking all right.
It's going to be tough to see who plugs in for him because this series, we'll find out tomorrow night. We'll really find out right away how this is going to play out because they're either going to attack with Horford. I know. We were talking before the show, Horford. Now you're going to say something about him later, but Horford didn't really play well last night, 31 minutes, 6 points, but maybe this could be a breakout game for him next game if he goes and attacks that power forward position, like a guy like Ojale, who doesn't really have too much experience in the playoffs, or a game like this. Maybe he'll attack that position and try to do some work.
Or hear me out, you start Marcus Smart and just have him defend the big man.
Which yeah, very well
he was
could happen.
He for a few plays last night.
Yeah, I'd rather not do that, but he can't. Like, we've seen him do it, but he's still so small. No offense to him, he's a junkyard dog, but that guy, he's just too small.
Yeah, you got to realize your limitations physically like that. Like, obviously, the last person I want is, and really, no one can stop Embiid on the Celtics. No, that was a problem. Embiid could average. I was telling Dante this before we even
heard
started
talk,
recording.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Embiid could average 45 points in this series if he wanted to. Like, all they have to do is feed it to him down low, give him the Shaq treatment. Every position, just start it down low, start the offense down low with him. He either has to turn around and score it or kick it back out to a shooter, and that's all they should be doing, and instead they got away from that. I think, honestly, Brad Stevens won the game last night, not so much anything the players did. Tatum had 21 in the first half. Brown had 15 in the fourth quarter. So the players took turns going off and spread it throughout the game, really had good flow. But for the most part, like, the coaching is head and shoulders different. Brett Brown comes out with that play out of the timeout where Embiid shoots the three from half court basically at the end of the game. It's like, what kind of a fucking play call is that if you have your 7'3" center? And I understand he's the best player, hands down. He's the player that you want taking all the shots because Ben Simmons isn't there. They don't have any other clutch shooters.
Not that shot.
No, but if you have your center pulling up basically from the midcourt line, it's a ridiculous idea. And Brad Stevens, instead of having stupid play calls like that, he was putting his players in positions to either get buckets or get free throws. Jason Tatum got clutch free throws down the stretch after being ignored all night by the refs. So the coaching was completely different. Brad really, really outdid himself. And I think Brett Brown is going to be fired after this series.
I was just about to say when you were done, when the Celtics win the series, I think Brett Brown is going to be fired. I just think even if Simmons was playing, I don't think – you know, just he has not handled the team well. I understand that, you know, from the get-go, a lot of the guys that just didn't fit, didn't work. But, you know, you have to put some of that blame on the coach. Like, he just didn't make it work. And, you know, last night, it's inexcusable that you have your best player only shoot 5 for 5 in the first quarter, then shoot 10 times the rest of the game. And it's just like, you need to feed him the ball. You need to play through him. And if not, you're not going to win, and they didn't win last night. So I just think Brett Brown's on the hot seat. If they don't win this series, he's gone for it. And it's not even that he's really a bad coach. Like, he knows
I think he's a pretty good coach.
He knows his X's and O's. Yeah, he's, like, not he's been around for a while. It's just this situation just didn't work. He isn't a good fit for this team. And I we talked about this before. I also think one of Embiid or Simmons is going to be gone eventually within the next year or two. And I think it should be Embiid because Simmons is just such an easy player to build around. Just the way he plays, literally he could average a triple-double for an entire season if he wanted to. You just need to put shooters around him. You need to put defenders, wing players, big men that can actually stretch the floor. Like, Embiid can quote-unquote stretch the floor, but he shoots 30% from three. That's not stretching the floor.
No.
That's hitting a three occasionally. He had a step-back three last night, but
which
you
was
know
crazy.
That's not going to happen. You know that's not going to happen. Like, that's going to happen once every, like, three games. So
yeah.
They need to just surround Simmons with talent, like shooters, all these guys that could run the floor and stuff, and not a slow-paced center that is probably the best center in the NBA. It just doesn't work for this team. So that's my opinion, though. I think the Sixers
are
making some big changes after this season.
Yeah, I think so, too. And you got to look at Embiid's injury history, although it's tough saying that when he's the one playing and Simmons is the one hurt. But for the most part, Embiid is the one who's significantly hurt all the time compared to Ben Simmons, who's much more sturdy, stocky guy. He's less likely to get hurt. Neither of them have a perfect injury history, but if I were to pick between the two of them, it'd be Ben Simmons pretty easily.
Yeah, I agree. Breaking news actually right now. Gordon Hayward has a grade 3 ankle sprain and will miss 4 weeks.
Yikes. Okay.
Well, there I go saying it's only going to be like 5 days.
So we're fucked in the next round.
That's what I was worried about, dude. That's what I was worried about against the Raptors. That's going to be tough.
With all their big
pain.
Men.
pain
with all their big men. Maybe Gordon Hayward can fight through it and play, but with like from his past, like they're not going to try to rush him back. They're not going to try to rush this guy back.
Why can't something just go right for one goddamn season?
Even with Hayward, though, we would have had a hard time against the Raptors.
I agree, but
now without him.
Oh, it's even harder. Yeah, it doesn't get any better.
Why does this happen? Every single time we go and we're like set to make a deep playoff run and everyone's healthy, this shit happens.
It's so crazy. It's literally every year. There's always some sort of glaring problem that rises.
Well, hey, maybe Ojale will step up.
Shut your mouth.
I like Javonte Green more than Semi Ojeleye. If I would have any faith in somebody, it would be Javonte Green. I think that guy's kind of a killer.
And I think they're going to play, they're going to try to rotate those two in and out like a lot. Brad Stevens is going to like give them a good chunk of minutes and Grant Williams. And they maybe will see the Time Lord a little bit more in there as well.
I feel like I just watched my dog get hit by a car.
Yeah, podcast over.
Podcast over. Yeah, let's sign out, guys. Right,
we'll see you next year.
Liam's car. Liam's car. Liam's dog just got hit by a car. I'm like on the verge of tears right now. Fuck.
Well, that's super annoying. On a happier note, I wanted to mention Robert Williams as well. Last night, me and Connor talked about in the last episode how efficient and effective Robert Williams has been now that he's started to get some significant minutes in the last couple games. And I wasn't sure if he was going to get much playing time in the playoffs. I figured they'd shorten the rotation a bit, and I wasn't sure if he was going to get cut out. But it really seems like the odd man out was Enes Kanter, who played, 2 minutes in the first half and then was basically replaced by Robert Williams in the third. I don't think anyone has any complaints about Enes Kanter being benched.
When Enes Kanter went into the game last night, I tweeted, can we please put Robert Williams in? And he got put in less than a minute later. I was like, when Enes Kanter goes into the game, you know right away off the first two possessions whether he's going to have a good game or a bad game. And I'm very happy Brad Stevens figured it out early on that he was going to have a bad game because he just was awful on the court last night. Give the minutes to Robert Williams. I don't see the issue. I just don't see the issue.
He played very well, too. Blocked Embiid's shot once, and he's out there getting hustle rebounds. And he's one of those players that starts fast breaks. You know, he'll get the ball, he'll pass it out, and good things happen when he touches the ball.
Yeah, I agree. And Robert Williams can really do everything Enes Kanter does. Like, Enes Kanter is just one of the best rebounders in the NBA. Like, that's really the only thing that gives him playing time. That the reason why he gets valuable playing time, he gets
rebounds. He's a versatile scorer, too.
He's good in the post, too, depending on who he's going up against. I don't know if you saw it last night. He was backing up Embiid and went for a skyhook and just completely missed the rim. Ugh. I was just like, dude, you gotta know who to do that against and when to do that. Like, that is not the time.
Not the right time.
Yeah, honestly.
Well, hopefully. Maybe...
What?
Sorry, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, hopefully Brad came to his senses when he took Kanter out and put Robert Williams in. He must have checked his phone, saw that Dante tweeted, please put Robert Williams in. He was like, oh, Dante's right.
Dude, I think Brad Stevens like has me followed on Twitter, and he just looks at his phone throughout the game. It's like,
yeah, mid-game. Needs tips. Okay.
Robert Williams, all right. Robert, get in.
Dante wants in.
He goes, you just put me in. Why'd you take me out? Listen, Dante just said that. Listen, we got to put Robert
check
in.
Check Twitter, man. Check Twitter.
Sorry, yeah, get on check Twitter.
Now all we can do is hope for, a massive upset by, the Nets or the Magic. Like, let's hope that the Magic can just upset the Bucks or the Nets can upset the Raptors. Because, I don't want to face the Raptors.
Well, the Nets got drawn and quartered yesterday, so probably not.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. We'll see tonight. I mean, I'm just going to only assume that the Bucks are going to blow the Magic out, but who knows? That's why we play the game.
Magic by a million. They don't have Aaron Gordon or Michael Carter-Williams.
They don't have Michael Carter-Williams?
No, I know. That's their best piece. I know.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's their only chance. I thought he was going to go.
They got Vujicic.
If you're betting, if you're into betting, they had plus 1,200 odds, which is minus 1,200 odds, which is just absolutely stupid. Stupid odds.
Oh, yeah. Milwaukee's favored by 14. Holy shit. That's a lot for a playoff game.
The injuries came out, for sure. That's
for a playoff game.
What's wrong with MCW?
I think he's been hurt for the past few games. I don't know what it's really. I don't know.
I saw him playing relatively recently.
I mean, they might have just gave up considering they know they don't get the box.
A bunch of guys sat like the last two games of the bubble because like they already locked up their spot, so it really didn't matter.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah.
Well, that breaks my heart.
For Orlando, they were gonna make a run, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought they were gonna be that team.
Yeah. No, but. You never know. I mean, that's why they play the game. But now they have no shot. Like, Bucks sweep this series in four. And, you know, it's looking like the Raptors will sweep in four against the Nets.
Yeah, I would
say. That'll place us with a nice... if we can even get there, we'll see how we react without Hayward.
Yeah. Stop saying his name. I'm so upset right now.
Even for the rest of the series against the Sixers, it was a closer game than I thought. And I think... the rest of the games going forward could be pretty close, too. Al Horford, for the amount of money he's paid, he shouldn't score 6 points. He should easily double that, at least. But he did have, like, what, 6, 6, and 8 or something like that? Like, he was fine. Not at, so much after he was screaming at the Celtics, but, like, for the most part, he was serviceable.
And I think we'll see him feast on some of the younger guys that the Celtics throw out there. Like, not feast on him, but like I feel like he's just going to play a little better next game, knowing that he doesn't have to go up against a guy like Hayward.
Yeah. I mean, he could. He's fundamentally sound and stuff like that. He did practice against Gordon Hayward plenty of times, too, so you figure he'd be able to get the upper hand on Hayward. But there I am just thinking Al Horford has done literally nothing all year long. He's been atrocious, so thanks God we got rid of him.
Yeah, let's just hope that
money too.
Yeah. Oh, ridiculous salary he's getting paid to just sit on the bench and collect dust.
Good for him.
Yeah, no, 100%.
He's living the dream. I
mean, can I have a funny stat to throw out there? Can I throw it out there for you guys?
Hit us with it.
In the fourth quarter last night, I don't know if you guys saw it, but Al Horford got an offensive rebound and a putback layup, and then he started screaming like, "Oh,
really loud!"
Like really, like, "Oh, I'm the best player on the court." When really he only had like 6 points at that point. After that scream, Al Horford finished the game with 0 points, 0 assists, 1 rebound, 0 steals, 0 blocks, 2 fouls, and had a -12 plus-minus.
Attaboy.
So he's not that good.
Worst player on the court.
He's like so good. He's like, you mentioned it earlier, Liam, like from last season to now, like it's crazy. Like, it's just crazy how washed he looks. And it's like, I don't know if like that's his team. Like, I don't know if it's because of the team he's on or like he's just taking a big step back. Like, would he have been like this if he was on the Celtics? Like, I don't know.
I think so.
I think if he was on the Celtics this year, honestly, especially if we gave him that like 3 years, 60, because of what we were projected to give him was a 3-year, $60 million deal. Like that was the understanding. That's what everyone thought was going to happen. At that point, I think he would have been like, if he started, he was only going to play like 25 minutes a game, if that, or if he came off the bench, he would be just a contributor. He wouldn't.
I mean,
be a
he's
guy
pretty up there in age. What is he? 32 now?
30, yeah, he's getting 34 or something like that. No, he might be a little older than that. Yeah.
Really?
And that's like. He's heading towards the end. I mean, he's going to definitely retire sooner than later.
He's not like last night, he should do it right.
Yeah,
now.
He's not assigning another. I mean, who knows? A team might just pick him up, like a championship team, like a team that like a LeBron's on or something. They might be like, oh, Al Horford, let's see what
big,
we can get.
Big
from
men
him.
Hang around for a little bit. Al Jefferson retired like two years ago.
After the Sixers, that contract is over, he could just kind of roam around and try to win a ring at that
journey,
point.
Yeah, he'd be like going on whatever team LeBron's on or. He'll be going to the Lakers or something, chasing a ring.
Yeah,
go to a super team. I mean, why wouldn't he?
I mean, listen, I wouldn't mind if he came back to Boston. I'm just not paying him fucking $30 million a year.
No, I would rather not see him in Boston. Like we're trying to like not rebuild. Like we're going with this young team now. And I just don't think he serves any purpose here.
Like a veteran presence, I wouldn't mind him coming off the bench, giving a few minutes for us personally. But I mean, who knows? That would be years down the line.
Because like veteran presence, though, I mean, we got guys like Tatum and Brown who have been kind of deep into the playoffs now, so that they know what to expect. And I know they're not veterans, so to say, but I feel like we have guys on this team that know what to expect. Like from full season.
I agree with that standpoint, but I don't know. It's never too bad. It's never bad to have too many guys that have been there. You know what I mean? I said, there would be years down the line anyways. So he's definitely not going to be anywhere near the team with the contract he's on. So
no.
How many years?
Talking about now. He's got to keep him at arm's 3 years left after this. He has a player option, but God knows he's picking that up. So.
And or yeah, he's probably going to retire after that. I know it was 3 more years. He'll be, what, 36, 38 or something like that? 36.
If the Sixers are smart, they'll trade him after this.
Yeah, but what are they going to get for him?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, what the hell are they going to get for him?
I'm sure there are other bad contracts out there.
Like, that's why you don't sign guys like that to a big contract.
An extra basketball or something for their like practice squad. Like, they're not going to get.
I don't know. Just get rid of him for anything.
They wouldn't. I would consider that best thing to get as like a second round pick. Honestly, he's 34.
I would take a second round pick.
Hey, you clear up $30 million a year. Honestly, you might just have to go with it.
Second round pick. You never know what you can get. You can get a surprise guy there.
Yeah, true. Barely.
Let's see who would want to take on that contract is the question.
Oh yeah,
probably the Bulls. They're good at that.
But yeah, the non-existing Bulls.
Hey, they did just fire.
Just throw them in Chicago.
Sucks. Yeah, so I mean, they're in a going down the right direction.
The Bulls will be somewhere in probably like 10 years from now. The net that sounds like a team like the Knicks would probably do it.
Yeah.
Oh,
the Knicks,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
they would love that.
they do just love it. Oh, we're gonna give you you're gonna give us a concession stand worker and Al Horford. Well, let's take it. Here's all our draft picks.
Al Horford has been to the playoffs every year of his career, and the Knicks would look at that and be like, "That is the guy we need."
Yeah,
holy shit.
Playoffs. We like playoffs.
We haven't seen the playoffs in God knows how long.
Every year of his career.
They think getting Al Horford means an immediate playoff spot.
Was that an exaggeration? Al Horford's been in the playoffs every single year.
That's a real known fact.
Oh,
it was
shit.
1 year that he was injured that he wasn't in it, but that doesn't really. I mean, every year that he's been an active player, he's been in the playoffs.
Because he killed it on the Hawks. Like the Hawks were always pretty good when he was there.
He got put into a good situation there. I mean, he's had. I mean, the Hawks. I mean, you remember when they had like 60 wins or something?
They were the best team in the league.
Yeah, they were nasty. They just unfortunately had to go through LeBron and all of them, so it's like they never could make it to the finals.
And then after Horford left, they just fell apart. I mean,
essentially, basically. Now they got Trae Young, Curls,
which will be
from 35 feet every year,
taking circus shots and not giving a fuck if they win or not.
It's crazy how quickly things can change like that. How like 5 years ago they were one of the best teams in the NBA, and now it's like. They're the bottom of the Eastern Conference. They don't even get invited to the bubble because of how bad they are. Like, that's just nuts.
Let's hope it doesn't have to happen to the Celtics anytime soon.
Well, I hope so, too.
All right. It is time to eat my own humility here, though, and talk about our White Claw wager of the week, I, like an idiot, doubled down on thinking, having the nerve to say that the Celtics bench...
Yeah.
Be able to beat the Wizards.
I don't think Dante knows about that.
We used to bet
like during the season like who would win a game. So we'd pick like a game every week. And whoever won last week's bet, like whoever won the weeks prior got to choose like who would win. So like we would do like Celtics versus whoever, pick like the biggest game of the week. So I lost last week. I think I had Celtics Raptors
and I picked the Celtics.
Raptors lost. And then he got the next pick for the next week, and of course he took the Celtics over Magic, but Magic lost.
Wizards.
I mean, was it Wizards?
Yeah, it was the last game of the season. So it's if you win, you get to choose what team you want for the next week too, and you basically just keep a streak alive.
If you lose, you chug a beer or a white claw.
I like it.
Adds a little extra spice to this. So, like an idiot, I doubled down. I was like, yes, the Celtics bench could beat the Wizards. I was wrong. I should never bet against Ish Smith. So, for my sins against Ishmael Smith, I will drink this beloved White Claw.
That looks like a Diet Coke.
Fuck you. It's actually a Coors Light.
I know. I didn't want to give a shit. That's even worse. I'd rather chug a White Claw.
Yeah, I know, but like, what am I gonna run out to a Packy at 10 in the morning? That'll raise some questions.
It's noon time, buddy.
Yeah, I know, but like, when I woke up and was preparing for the show, it was like 10 in the morning. So down.
Did you that long to prepare?
Huh?
It takes you a couple hours to prepare for a show.
Yeah. I like to be prepared. Sometimes it'd be like that, my notes. I have to shower and get nice and sexy for you, Fox.
Yeah, always gonna have your shirt off.
Always. All right, here we go.
Recounting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Done.
Let me see if there's anything left in that can.
Tears in my eyes.
just the tears in there of Gordon Hayward.
Yeah. All right, well, Liam just went to go throw up, so Dante.
I feel terrible.
We're taking this over now.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, just give me about 10 minutes to throw up and burp and cry.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we could talk about what we think. I mean, I think Liam and I gave our prediction on the series. Dante, I don't know if I saw yours on Twitter anywhere, but what was your prediction for, like, the series?
I said Celtics in five.
Okay, that was also cautious. That's safe.
I think I'm still gonna roll with five, but it wouldn't shock me if it went six games.
Wow. Okay. I think it's all gonna depend on if Embiid can just carry this team, the 76ers team. If Embiid can have some monster games and just go off, I can see this going six or seven. But I just don't see Embiid doing that, to be honest. I really don't see him out there without Ben Simmons being like, I really need to have these huge games. I just don't see the motivation in him.
Yeah, no, he's just not one of those players that you can look at and be like, take over this game. Like, just lead us to a win. Like, I just don't know if he can be that player. Like,
he can be one of
those players. I think he can, if he's side by side with someone, yeah, he could.
If they had like, Simmons, yeah.
When you know, like, the Sixers are going to go to him and you know his game, like, post up.
You
like,
can stop it.
You can stop it. You know what to do if it's going to happen every time. It's just when you have no one else around him, it's so hard for the Sixers to win. It just really is. And it's unfortunate that Simmons is out, because if he was healthy, I'd say that the series would go seven games. Personally, I think
they probably
Simmons. Simmons is honestly, like, besides shooting, he is great at every other part of his game. Like, he is an all defensive team player. He is one of the best playmakers in the league. Like I said, he can average a triple-double every season if he wanted to. It's just the jump shot. It's just the shooting that's weak. If everything else, he's so strong at. If he had a jump shot, I think he'd be a top-10 player in the league personally. But he just hasn't developed that jump shot yet, which until he does, the Sixers are always going to be in the same spot every year unless they make serious roster changes.
I agree completely.
I don't think he's ever going to develop that shot. I mean,
it's like you have to assume
he's going to. Yeah, no. Right? He's already getting better.
He's starting to shoot them. Like, at least that's a start. I mean, he started going to, like, a psychiatrist or something because, like, someone has to tell him to shoot the ball. That's a real thing. He had to, like, see a therapist or something to, like, talk about it.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's kind of like crazy. Like, I'm not trying to get on someone for going to therapy for anything, but, like, bro, like, it's not that serious. Just shoot the basketball.
You're kind of paid millions to shoot a fucking
dude. He gets paid $30 million a year, and he can't even shoot a damn basketball. What the hell are you doing?
That's it.
Yeah,
like, just shoot.
I'll see him in summer workouts, and he'll be shooting the ball just fine too. Which I get.
I never trust summer workout videos.
Each player looks like Michael Jordan. It's ridiculous.
Exactly. I can see a workout video of Marcus Smart in the offseason. I'll be like, yep, this guy's coming in average 20 next year, and God knows he isn't. So yeah.
There was that video of Marcus Smart that came out a while ago where he was consistently pulling up from, like, at the fucking midcourt line, and he was just cashing it every time, and I was like, this dude sucks.
I think he went like 0 for 3 from 3 last night. Hopefully he hits a few now that Hayward's out. I mean, we're gonna have to have, I mean, he's gonna also, Marcus Smart, I mean, with that, without being said, he needs to step up too, whether he starts or comes off the bench, whatever it is, he needs to pick up. I think he's going to start, because I think that's just what the team's used to. Like, when someone's been hurt, Smart's been the one starting. I just cannot see Semi Ojeleye or Grant Williams starting in the playoffs. Like, it would pain me if I saw that. Like, if I see the starting lineup being put out and I see Semi or Grant in there, I'm just going to be like, bro. Please chalk that game up as a loss.
They'll probably slide someone like Tice over to, like, power forward or something.
They'll figure it out.
Yeah. Brad Stevens is a smart dude.
Brad Stevens, yeah, I trust.
Oh, him. I hope he's. I think he's a smart dude. We'll see what happens going forward. I mean, it's all going to depend on game two. I think if we win game two, it's a wrap. But if we go out and get destroyed in game two without Hayward, or, you know, if we even if we just lose, I think it's going to be a long series. I just want to see the Celtics win game two, and I think the series will be over in five or four games. If that's the case. I agree with that.
They can't have the Sixers tie the series up or get within one. Like, they just need to, like, just keep the foot on the gas pedal and just keep going.
Yeah, because then Embiid's going to get in his head. Yeah, Embiid will get in his own head. He'll implode, and then sayonara is the fucking 76ers. On to the Raptors.
See, I'm going to be that cynic here and say that now it might go to six or seven games, and the Sixers might actually win. On the other hand, there's no way. I think Joel Embiid very well could just go off each game.
He's going to have to have, like...
I think he has an unlimited arsenal. He's arguably the best center in the league. I'll make the argument that he's the best center in the league because I think he's better than Jokic, and I think Karl Anthony Towns is dog shit. So,
well, you know what they should do is try to foul him out. They should just take the time for it and be like, hey, go.
He had five and late in the fourth, so it's like
he is very clumsy like that. That is a big problem for him.
Take a guy like the Time Lord, who you're not going to really need. Like, I mean, you'll need him, but
you kind of,
like,
need him now.
Just try to have him go up, like, body him and try to foul and beat out. Because I feel like if he's going to play with, like, a bunch of fouls, he's going to play scared.
If anything, put Cantor to use. Just have him punch him in the balls, like, five times in a row.
Have him try to start a fight. Like, have him talk some shit to him.
If we're going
to
have someone get suspended, just have it be Enes Kantor.
Exactly. Yeah, have Cantor go out.
If you're going to throw someone in there to injure someone, have it be Enes Kantor.
Have Cantor go out there, like, throw some low blows, like, get Embiid mad and have him try to start a fight. Have Embiid try to throw a punch.
Him and Smart have got into some words last night, too. Embiid kind of pushed him after Smart, like, went up for a shot. He got hit, and then he pushed him down to the ground, and then Marcus got in his face. So it's like, hey. But also going back to fouling, like, if you give him three fouls in the second quarter or something like that, like, if you make him have to sit for a long period of time or, like, stretches of the game, like, that's huge. I mean, when he's out of the game, you got to take advantage of it.
Oh, yeah. And then once he's out of the game, go down low, attack the rim, like, attack. Have Tatum drive to the rim almost every shot. Have Walker go right to the rim because you're going to have those moments.
Exactly. And at that point, you have Al Horford playing the center, like, bro, just go at him. Just charge him.
Yeah, have him exploit their game. Exploit Embiid. Try to foul out
on the court. Maybe we should be playing for the Celtics. Honestly, I feel like we could get the job done.
I've been lighting it up in ball recently. I think I could go out there. I don't know.
I've seen your ball videos of your friend traveling out there. And
yeah, well, my friend isn't me. I was out there.
My friend isn't me.
blood and guts on the court. Virtuoso.
I think you played for, like, the online varsity of, like, McDade.
Yeah, I played for Grand Canyon University.
Yeah, they got a good team.
Yeah, I haven't seen you play, but I see your snaps when you're at the court. So at least I know you're putting in the time.
I'll shoot some videos in the Raptors group chat right now. I'm
past my prime, so.
Yeah, we know. But you look exactly like Dirk Nowitzki, so you got the intimidation factor going.
And I used to play exactly like Dirk Nowitzki. My AAU team. I have Dirk's number. I was number 41.
That's such a dusty number.
I know. It was sick. My coach was like, what number do you want? I'm like, number 41, baby.
And the coach probably threw up after you said that.
He did. He was like, who the fuck's number 41?
I was number 11 back in my high school days. Like a little combination of Kyrie and Klay Thompson. You know what I mean?
Attaboy. I was 16. That's my lucky number.
Who? Kyrie? Ew, gross.
Listen. I had the handles like Kyrie, shot like Klay. I was unstoppable.
Yeah, I don't know about that. You'd be in the NBA,
basically,
my friend.
I was the best player ever.
You wouldn't be on this podcast, my friend.
When you have that number, I'm telling you, bro, it's all about the number. You start playing like that player. It's weird. Like, I had a 23 my freshman year, bro. I swear everyone called me MJ.
Wow, that's...
No, that's a lie.
I was gonna say.
No. Maybe when I was on intramurals, people were calling me.
Yeah, maybe intramurals. Always fun. I felt like a god in intramural basketball. Like,
bro,
I played for, like, a church league, and I was like, oh my god.
Ask Matt about intramurals freshman year, and he'll tell you. It was the Paul Pierce KG duo. I'm telling you, bro.
Which one were you?
Well, do I look like KG or do I look like Paul?
No,
you're white, so you don't look like either.
Well, listen, Matt, our friend Matt is like has like 5 inches on me, yeah, so I'm giving him the Kevin Garnett.
How tall is he?
6'2", probably. 6'4"? No, my cousin's 6'4".
He seems like he's 6'4".
He's like 6'1", 6'2".
He must be pretty. He must be pretty short then. You're only 5'9"?
Intramural. I'm the average American height.
You guys are both 5'9"? Damn.
Yeah, I'm average American height, baby.
You guys are shorties.
It depends. It depends what 5'9" you're talking about.
I don't need to. Okay, we then need to know that. This is a PG-rated podcast, PG-13.
What are you talking about?
Yeah,
you guys didn't tell me this when I signed up.
We're talking about.
I want out.
You can swear, but we're not talking about. We're not talking about.
Listen,
dicks
I didn't say anything about dicks. You're the one that said it, not me.
All right, you're right. I was thinking about it.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
Yeah, I was thinking about it.
I can't. Liam just has his shirt off. I can't help it. But is there anything we missed? Anyway, is there anything we missed?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Anything else we need to say?
So how long?
Celtics and five.
Is gonna go now. Celtics and five. I'm going.
I'll go five. Fuck it.
Okay. Celtics and seven.
Okay. Why, dude? Because we have guys like Tatum and Brown. We're gonna be able to carry us through. Like the 76ers don't have anybody like that. They haven't been.
We'll see. I don't know. I think Gordon Hayward makes it tough.
He does make it tough. Losing 17 points per game and arguably the team's best playmaker definitely stings.
Damn good defender. And somebody who whoever steps in for him isn't going to have the basketball IQ that Gordon Hayward has. They'll kind of disrupt the offense a little bit. They'll be some pick-me-up having to go on.
As long as he's still able to play video games in his hotel room and he can, you know, stay optimistic, then I guess that's fine.
As long as he keeps on the Fortnite grind.
Yeah, that's all we can ask at this point.
Absolutely. So let's take a moment of silence and pray for Gordon Hayward's Fortnite fight. So I think that'll wrap up episode 42, the former Al Horford number podcast of the Rafters podcast. That sounded very smooth. And that'll wrap it up.
Peace.
Later.
Till next time. Peace out.